Welcome to Ruby Riders Peggy Paradise podcast number 136 on July 13th, 2016. If you enjoy and appreciate my work and you want to help me spread the word about pegging, consider becoming a patron of mine so I can spend more time doing podcasts, answering questions, writing articles, and recording videos for people interested in pegging everywhere. Go to patreon.com/rubyrider or click the Support My Work button on the right-hand side of my website. So hey, let me get this out of the way. I've got a bit of a rant. It's a political rant and it's about porn. So this is a really interesting thing that happened. You know, it was just a few months ago when state policymakers in Utah approved a measure condemning pornography as a public health crisis. And we all kind of went, yeah, whatever, you know, it's Utah, they're conservative, whatever. But interestingly enough, yesterday, which was Monday, the Republican Party said that they are going to declare internet pornography a public health crisis. And this was an amendment added to the draft party platform. Happened at some preliminary meetings in Cleveland, apparently. North Carolina delegate Mary Frances Forrester, who is a piece of work, successfully proposed the amendment in a subcommittee of the platform meeting on Monday morning. And her words are, "We know how big of a problem it is. It is an insidious epidemic, and everyone knows that, and that is not a controversy." So the exact wording of the bill, a portion of it, says, "Pornography, with its harmful effects, especially on children, has become a public health crisis that is destroying the lives of millions." You know, I'm not saying that pornography is completely positive. There are definitely some effects of pornography and considerations that really deserve more conversation. But it just kind of cracks me up how the GOP just wants things to go away when they're not comfortable with them. Our world is changing, and no one makes this case better than David Lay, L-E-Y. He has done a lot of writing on this subject and is a bit of an expert in this field, and also in talking about how there is no such thing as sexual addiction and things like that. But I really enjoy his measured response. I'm going to link to a couple of his recent posts and articles. It's interesting how the GOP just wants things to go away. You know, they want gay people to go away. They want abortion rights to go away. They want trans people to go away. And now they want porn to go away. And it's just really... it's not going to happen, people. It is not going to happen. The world is changing. And David Lay makes this point. The world is changing. And sometimes people are really, really uncomfortable with change. But it's never going to go back to the way it was, no matter how much you wish it. No matter how many laws you try and pass that are unconstitutional. I think you just all need to take a deep breath and realize that things are changing. So maybe we should sit down and discuss things. Maybe we should take a look at real studies that show that there are some positive effects of pornography as well. There are some studies that show things such as the more porn use, the less rape, and things like that. So it's never going to go away, especially with the internet. But the intersection of children and porn, and I'm not talking about porn of children, I'm talking about children on the internet finding porn. That needs to be studied more. It seems to me the obvious answer to that, even though I haven't done any of the studies, is to teach real sexual education in the schools and especially at home. So it's important to talk to your kids about sex, to teach them that anything they find on the internet is not representative of real sex, is not representative of good relationships, and is completely unrealistic. I think the more open you are about sex, then the less of an appetite there is for finding porn and the illicit sort of titillation that goes along with that when you're a kid. But if you're totally forbidden to look at this, to talk about it, nobody talks about it, nobody does anything about it, it's just this big taboo thing that, you know, that the schools teach abstinence and put condoms on bananas, and all they teach you is about how you can get pregnant and become like a spoiled piece of fruit if you have sex, and how you can catch STDs and STIs and die. If that's the only kind of sex education that's happening and everything is forbidden to be talked about in the homes, then no wonder there is that sort of secret forbidden titillation in finding it, which really explains why, purportedly, the highest subscriptions of paid porn use are in Utah. You know, the three monkeys, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. It's like, it feels to me like there is this very strange urge to not talk about sex, not hear about it, and not see it in any way, shape, or form. Anything that reminds you of anything uncomfortable, let's just not talk about abortion. Let's just have a law against it, and it's not going to happen anymore. Let's not talk about people going nude. Let's just have laws against it and prosecute people if they do. Let's not give trans people their rights and allow them to transition into the body they feel that they should have been born with and identify with. No, let's pass laws that discriminate against them. And I don't think it's a surprise that the delegate Mary Frances Forrester is from North Carolina. Mary Frances Forrester is the one that proposed the amendment declaring porn a public health crisis. North Carolina is that wonderful state that produced HB2, the often and widely talked about bathroom bill. But the thing about that bathroom bill is that's really just a kind of a cover-up. That was like a smokescreen, because that's not the only thing that that bill did, just in case you don't know. The HB2 that was passed earlier this year and has been upheld and not changed since then, despite Obama sort of putting the public education funds on the table and saying, unless you change this, we're not going to give you the funding for the public schools. Despite that, the legislature there in North Carolina couldn't even restore the full right to sue for religious, sex, and race discrimination, which had existed for decades in that state. Now, the right and the time to do so are really severely restricted. It was incredibly discriminatory. And that kind of went underneath the whole bathroom thing and the whole trans people are predators bullshit that no one can ever find a case of anywhere. It was a total red herring, bizarre thing. So anyway, today I'm a little irritated at the GOP. And for you, the GOP, for you guys, and especially for Mary Frances Forrester, I play you this song. Free your ass, your mom will follow. Take it deep, now don't be shallow. Free your ass. So, this podcast is going to be a complete podcast of toy reviews. Check it. So, settle in. Fill up your glass with whatever you most like to drink, and here we go. The first toy up for review is the B-Vibe. The B-Vibe is a really interesting butt plug. It was given to me by Charlie Glickman on behalf of B-Vibe for an honest review, so there's my full disclosure. Thank you, Charlie. Charlie Glickman co-wrote with Aislinn Amirzian the book The Ultimate Guide to Prostate Pleasure. If you have not read this book, you really should. I will put a link to it in my Linkorama. So, the B-Vibe rimming plug is what they call it. It gives you a little bit of a clue as to what this plug is going to be like. First of all, the packaging is really well done. That's the first thing I have to say about the plug itself. They've done a great job on the packaging. It comes in a box that has a sleeve around it. Then you slide the sleeve off, and you got this nice box with a magnetic closure. You open it up, and on the left-hand inside cover, there's instructions and information. And on the right-hand side, there is a travel case, the plug, the remote, little instruction booklet, the whole deal. So, the shiny texture of the case is a little deceiving. It's quite beautiful. It looks like it's metal, but it is a sturdy plastic. The case has a zipper closure, and on the inside of it has a special pocket that you can put the remote and the USB charger. So, there's no plug charger for this toy. There's only a USB charger. So the B-Vibe website says this toy is splash-proof and shower-friendly, but I did notice it's being marketed at least on one website as waterproof. I don't think I'd sit in the tub with it, just saying. I'm not going to try it and see if I ruin it because I like this plug, but we'll get to that in a little bit. You know, and in fact, when I stopped the recording here and I checked a little bit more closely, The instruction booklet, as well as the box, specifically states do not immerse, so don't. You can wear it in the shower, maybe, splashing, but please do not immerse it because you'll ruin your lovely plug. When you charge this plug, you'll notice that the USB charger has the B-Vibe name on it. Thank you, B-Vibe, for taking the trouble to do that, because your charger will not get lost amongst all the others that I have. That's a very good move. The light in the bottom of the plug flashes when it's charging. It takes about 2 hours to charge, and it stops flashing when it's done. It just stays solid on. Although I did not test the plug until it died and lost charge, the booklet says the B-Vibe touts a 1.5-hour playtime. And interestingly enough, the video on the website says 60 minutes, but excellent amount of time either way. The plug was designed with a vibe in the end of it, like in the tip of it, as opposed to the base, and a kind of rimming function that consists of like rotating beads beneath the silicone in the neck area of the plug. That portion is absolutely meant to mimic the feel of being anally rimmed. There is a 1-year warranty for defects of material and workmanship on this toy. So the B-Vibe has a lot of options, which is really awesome, but you almost need a tutorial, so I'm just going to do my best here. When you press the button at the bottom of the plug, there's only one, the light will flash. This is the point at which you can turn on the remote by pressing the remote's power button, the one in the middle, and that will connect you to the plug. It will connect the two. First of all, before you do that, be sure to open up the remote and remove the strip that blocks the battery so that you don't end up calling the company and saying, "Why isn't it working?" The remote actually boasts a 30-foot range, which I found to be pretty accurate. It did not work from about 15 feet away through a closed inside door, but, you know, down the hallway, yeah, 30 feet, it definitely worked. When you're using the remote, just pressing the power button to connect the two immediately turns on both the rimming action and the vibe at the end of the plug, because that's just two different places and two different things happening here. If at any time you decide you want to have one of those without the other, simply hold down the button for the one you want to turn off. So the top button controls the vibe at the end of the plug, and the bottom button controls the rimming action. Then you have buttons to the left and right, and these control the intensity. When you turn the remote on, it will turn on in a constant vibration mode. This is the first vibration mode. Pressing the top button again and repeatedly will cycle it through 5 more vibrational patterns for the vibe part of the plug. In each of those patterns, you can use the intensity controls, which also have 5 levels, and those are the buttons on the right and the left, right? If both the rimming and the vibe are on, the intensity controls affect both. There does not seem to be a way to have low intensity with one of those and high intensity on the other. And one of the things that's important to notice is that the rimming is not affected by the vibrational patterns. It can definitely be adjusted in intensity, but it's not affected by the vibrational patterns. So, now let's go back to the manual operation, because it certainly can be manually operated. When the power button is flashing, instead of turning on the remote, just press the power button again, and you will be in manual control mode. During manual control, you only have the one button. The plug will first go through 4 increasing levels of intensity, then it will cycle through the 5 different vibrational patterns. When you're operating the plug manually, there is no way to turn off the rimming or the vibe and have the other still function. There's also no way to increase or decrease the intensity of the vibrational patterns, so the remote actually gives you many more options. When I tried out this plug, it was not an easy butt day for me. You know, I've said this before, I'm a firm believer that butts have personalities, and mine was resistant on this day. It was not a good day to be resistant, because the B-Vibe is not a beginner size. It is 1.5 inches in diameter at its widest part, and has an insertable length of approximately 5 inches. I had to look hard for that information, so I do suggest a B-Vibe. Put those measurements on your website in a very easy-to-find place, because we who stick things in our butts really pay attention to measurements. Now, on the outside of the box, it says not to use silicone lube with this toy, but I use liquid silk, you know, my holy grail hybrid lube, which contains a bit of silicone, and it was fine. I cajoled my ass into accepting the large plug, and that's when the fun began. What an amazing sensation. First of all, with both the rimming and the vibration going, it was actually difficult to discern between the two. It just sort of felt like everything was kind of vibrating. Only when I turned off one or the other was I really able to differentiate. Now, keep in mind, my ass is likely not to be as sensitive as a prostate owner who loves pegging and is very comfortable with anal penetration. Although I do like a butt plug now and again, receiving anal is really not my forte. But that said, I really enjoyed this plug. The rimming action was constant, and an interesting thing happened. After a while, it was like I couldn't really notice it anymore. And it's not exactly like it was numb. This part is a little hard to explain. But here's the deal. When I turned the rimming action off and then turned it back on again, oh my God, it was delightful. It kind of mimicked a tongue teasing my asshole and then making me wait for more. It was just fucking tantalizing. So I had a lot of fun turning the rimming on and off for a while because every time I turned it back on, I would get a thrill. So the vibration at the end of the plug didn't do too much for me. But then again, I don't have a prostate. And you know, the video does say it's good for G-spot stimulation as well as prostate. But if you think about physiology, when you stick your finger in a guy's ass, that prostate is right there. It totally is, okay? But the G-spot is on the upper roof, so to speak, of the vagina. So if you're sticking a finger in a woman's ass and pushing upwards, you kind of have to get through the vagina before you hit the G-spot. I don't think it's as easy. So personally, I didn't experience a whole lot of G-spot stimulation with it. The vibration felt lovely, but it wasn't really a particularly G-spot-oriented sensation. Nonetheless, when I decided I was ready for an orgasm, the addition of this plug and all the playing around I did with it without a doubt increased the intensity of my resulting orgasm. It certainly did. I love my job. Okay, so how loud is it? The B-Vibe is a little bit noisy. You know, I'm used to the sound of a magic wand, and it doesn't even approach that. I suppose if you were in a theater during one of those dramatic moments of silence, it might be heard by those close to you. But in a restaurant with, like, music going and people talking, I kind of doubt it. The base of the plug is shaped well to fit between the butt cheeks, but it is rather thick on the base to hold the charger and the controls. And you know, it didn't work as well as I wanted it to for a sitting down position. I found that I had to lean forward a little bit to take the pressure off the base. And after about 20 minutes of sitting, I decided not to sit anymore. I tried it out standing, and I wondered if the plug would fall out because, you know, the neck is not that much thinner than the plug itself, but it stayed in just fine. For the rest of the testing time, I laid down. So one of the reasons I'm excited about this toy is that it presents the opportunity to covertly tease my partner in public. You know, there's a graphic on the website that shows a couple sitting down at dinner, and the assumption is they're in a restaurant, the man is holding their remote onto the table. I really, really want my partner to be able to wear it while enjoying a meal at a restaurant, or at a party, or on a train ride, etc. And you know, I'll see if he can handle sitting down with it. Even if it's not a perfect sitting down toy, the sadist in me might enjoy making him squirm a little bit with both pleasure and a little bit of discomfort. So, if I could change anything about this toy, I would offer the varied vibrational modes for the rimming function as well, because for me, what that did was mimic the teasing sort of rimming action that I absolutely love. And the only other thing I would change is to somehow make it a tad more comfortable for wear while sitting down. Perhaps people with more substantial bottoms might find it perfectly comfortable, and perhaps they might find it comfortable anyway. It's just me. And you know, I enjoy anal play sometimes, but somewhat infrequently. So it's quite possible someone who enjoys it on a very frequent basis might find it perfectly comfortable. But bottom line, bottom line, it's definitely a winner. The B-Vibe rimming plug, I give a score of 4.75 out of 5 points.
Do you fantasize about having a sexier, more satisfying life? Entice Me is devoted to teaching men and women about positive, pleasure-focused approaches to sexuality. Whether you're spicing it up in the bedroom with your partner, planning a private retreat, or looking to just feel sexier, Entice Me will help fulfill your desires. EnticeMe works with your needs to make positive changes in your life, in and out of the bedroom. EnticeMe offers an award-winning luxury line of ultra-fashionable, sophisticated haute toys and pleasure objects, which are of the highest quality. With in-home education, demonstrations, and discreet shopping, you'll have the time of your life spicing up your sex life. So what are you waiting for? Visit enticeme.com for more information about our products and services, or simply call 714-386-9684. That's 714-386-9684. EnticeMe, making it a sexier world.
The next review I have for you is the Tantus Haas. The Tantus Haas is really a gorgeous behemoth of a dildo, honestly. I mean, I love shocking people by leaving it laying around the house. Except for the cleaning lady, of course, because that's just rude. She puts up with enough at my house. So, the Tantus Haas is the largest dildo that I own. And I totally respect my partners who want to get fucked by it. Because in the pegging world, I playfully refer to you men who love to get fucked with toys of this size as size kings. With capitals, because capitals are intentional with that and absolutely earned, gentlemen. So, Tantus people were so sweet to send me one of these. They asked me if I wanted or needed anything, and I asked them for a Haas. And to my surprise and total excitement, they sent me one, because this is quite a thing to just throw in a box and send. But they were really eager to get a review of the Haas being used for pegging. So, okay, now, how does one actually get this into an ass, right? And, you know, I don't mean what's the actual procedure for preparing said ass and eventually penetrating it with the Haas. I mean, how do you hold it in order to penetrate your partner? Well, you can hold it with your hands, but, you know, I don't know of a retail harness that'll hold the Haas. Certainly nothing I have will hold it. And if they're out there, who knows how well they're made? Maybe I want one, maybe I don't. But now would be a good time to let you know about the measurements of the Haas in case you've never seen a picture of it. The head maxes out at 2.75 inches, and the shaft is a pretty uniform 2.5 inches. The insertable length is exactly 11 inches, and there's a set of balls at the base of this thing that are enormous. So suffice to say, this toy is most definitely not for beginners. The Haas is actually for those who really know their way around their own ass and they know what it takes to accept this kind of girth and length. So Tantus has made the Haas out of 100% super soft silicone. This is a special kind of softer silicone, and it's really a blessing on this toy because anything more rigid would really decrease the comfort factor since you're stretching the ass so much to get this baby in there anyway. They put a matte finish on it. The only color it comes in is black. I know, bad news for those of us who were wanting a big-ass purple Haas, right? Sorry to disappoint. So, getting back to how do you hold this toy, I actually have some great news for you. Some time back, a young lady wrote me and asked me about how to use some kind of a harness for the extra large toys because her boyfriend was into really, really large toys. In fact, she owns one of the other extremely large toys that Tantus makes called the Amsterdam. I believe those are the two biggest dildos that they sell. And there was just no harness that she had that could even begin to hold it. Well, I did some research for her, and I found out that there's a do-it-yourself harness that you can make out of scarves that was described by Midori quite well on her blog. And then there is a cartoon, like, 8-frame comic that has all kinds of Asian characters in it. But it has pictures of this harness being tied on. Animated is not the right word, but it's drawn. It's a graphic thing. And the title at the top of this says, "This is a harness inspired by Midori." So if you're not somebody who can read instructions and really visualize it and get it right, Then I'm including the graphic version of this so you can have some visuals as well. In fact, I'm going to link three places for instructions on how to make this harness. The first is the written instructions on her blog, which is where I found it. It's an older post, but hey, still works. And then there's a link to the how-to pictures for the graphic thing that I mentioned. And then there's also a link to the instructions. It's a post on FetLife. So I'm going to put those three links in the Linkorama. I used two long 60-inch silk scarves. I do believe somewhere in the instructions she has a bit of a formula that you need to do a multiplier of your waist size. My waist size is, I don't even want to say, but it's somewhere upwards of 34 inches. And I use these 60-inch scarves no problem. So if you're bigger than that, you might want to get longer pieces of fabric. But the 60-inchers worked great for me. And if you're smaller than that, then obviously the 60-inch scarves would work for you. And the reason I use that measurement is because it's fairly common for long scarves to be made in the 60-inch length. So here's a helpful hint. When you tie the scarves on, you might need to have your partner hold the hoss in place for you because it's a bit unwieldy. Place it higher than normal, the hoss, because those huge balls are going to prevent you from placing it down lower between your legs. And you can actually tie this thing right onto you with this do-it-yourself scarf harness. It's amazing. It works really well. So usually, putting the dildo right over your pubic bone is not something I would advise because you can end up with a bruised pubic bone. But with the hoss, you are not going to be thrusting hard. Yeah, you know, you may have seen hard thrusting with a dildo of that size in porn, but that's with lots and lots of muscle relaxers, right? And remember, never try to duplicate porn. And also, if you try to insert this baby the entire way, you're going to need a partner who is experienced in pushing past Hirsch's sphincter. And that takes practice and a lot of care. Hirsch's sphincter is the sphincter that separates the colon from the rectal canal. It can be pushed past with a dildo, but at that point, your colon kind of takes a 90-degree turn. So you need to do it really carefully. You need to play with the angles. Some men hate it, say it's just painful, and they have nothing to do with it. Some men say the sensation once they get past that sphincter is abso-fucking-lutely incredible. So they've learned how to get past it. They've learned the angle that they have to be at, and I'm not sure, quite honestly, but I would assume that the more you do it, the more your body gets used to that, perhaps. Anyhow, it does take practice and a lot of care, but the bottom line here is you need to remember to use this toy with respect. You know, it's kind of like swimming in the ocean. When you swim in the ocean, you always need to have respect for the water and stay very aware of the waves. With the hoss, you always need to have respect for this massive toy, and you need to stay very aware of your partner's ass because it is a big toy. And additionally, always, always remember to use a fuck ton of lube, especially with this guy. And my holy grail of lube is, of course, liquid silk. I'll put a link for that in the Linkorama as well. So when I use this with a partner, my partner actually accepted about the first 6 to 7 inches of this toy. And really, he moaned quite beautifully. He enjoyed getting fucked with it for about maybe 7-8 minutes. And then he actually asked to return to something smaller so that he could orgasm. And I noticed he was really proud to have taken it and definitely enjoyed the sensation of his ass being really more full than it's ever been. You know, I've noticed that. You guys who love the large toys get kind of proud when you're able to take the huge toy. It's quite an accomplishment. I love that. The only minuscule criticism of the hoss that I have heard, and this is not firsthand, it is strictly by doing research about it on the internet, is that it doesn't quite stand up on its own. Really, really close. But the shaft is really long and heavy, understandably, and it overbalances those really substantial balls just a bit, so it doesn't just stand up all on its own. But the balls still do a really, really excellent job of keeping the toy upright for solo use. And I got to give kudos to Tantus for designing it in that manner, because it needs something on the base to balance it for those people who were doing solo use. So if you are a size king and you are between partners or still looking for a partner to do some pegging with, then maybe this is the toy for you. So, the Tantus Hoss. Gotta give it a 5 out of 5. Okay, up next on the list of things to be reviewed, I have something a little different for you. Rather than a harness or a dildo, I have a piece of furniture. Yes, I would definitely call it a piece of furniture. In fact, most people would call it a spanking bench, but this man calls his creation a bondage horse, and I totally, totally agree with him on this. So, I love restraining men. I love restraining them and beating them and then fucking them, as some of you know who read my blog, some of you who cross paths with me on FetLife as well. So there's quite a variety of ways to restrain someone. And one of my favorites is the spanking bench. Part of the reason it's my favorite is because it restrains someone, yet it leaves their ass like front and center for all the fun things that I really like to do. So I started looking around for a spanking bench some time ago because I have BDSM parties at my house, and I usually end up renting a spanking bench each time I have a party. Yes, there are people who rent dungeon furniture for BDSM parties. The world is an amazing place. So this bondage horse clearly stood out among the rest in terms of quality and adjustability, mostly. So when this thing was shipped to me, oh my gosh, the shipping was pretty amazing. It was like a box within a box with bubble wrap around it. It had special pieces of cardboard wrapped around critical areas. It even had little hand-created pieces of cardboard on the feet of the four corners that would be the most vulnerable to shipping mishaps. He took total extra care in shipping this thing. He's totally got the shipping thing down. So needless to say, it arrived in perfect condition, which is really saying something, because this is not a light thing. And the vagaries of shipping things these days, you really never know what's going to happen. I was also happy to discover that some really excellent instructions on the minimal assembly required, and also the possible adjustments and ways to use it, those are included. He's written them up well, and they're very clear and understandable. So first off is comfort. Well, the padded arm and leg rests are adjustable. If you want to look at the photos of this item, I'm going to link to the review on the blog. So if you go to my blog where you can access this podcast, there's the Linkorama that you're all pretty familiar with by now, hopefully. It's going to have a link to the actual review that I wrote a few days ago for this item. So that will show you all of the pictures and things. I might put one also on the post for this podcast. We'll see how much room I have. Nonetheless, there's a very well padded arm and leg rest, and they're adjustable. So there's like a whole row of holes to take this off and put it on higher or lower. This is awesome for someone like me who has really extra long legs in the area from my knee to my hip. You can put that leg rest on the lowest position. I tested it out, and it allows me to rest my torso really comfortably on the top of the horse. So I have a 36-inch inseam, so my legs are really significantly long, and in that particular area, longer than most people, and it fit me quite comfortably. So the same for your arms. You can adjust those height-wise. It doesn't take very long to do, and when you adjust it, it's just a washer and a wing nut, two of those for each thing, and so you can customize it to the person who's on it, which really makes a big difference with comfort. So it's really exquisitely adjustable. And this is really important to me because all bodies are different. And the thing is, in my world, I'm a big fan of making sure that the men I torture are comfortable. It's very important to me. So now let's talk about the restraining part. In the picture, you will see leather straps. And if you're not looking at the picture and you're driving along on the freeway, picture this. There are leather straps, and these are optional. This is an optional package that I decided to purchase. And I'm so glad that I did, because the straps provide restraint points for the thighs, the calves, the upper arms, the wrists, and the waist, and they're really excellent quality. The lengths are just right. He has made them varying lengths that fit those particular purposes. And there are special slots in the wood where the straps fit through. I mean, everything is so well thought out. And you know what? When restrained with all of these straps, believe me, whoever is on this bondage horse isn't going anywhere. So, who makes this gorgeous creation? This is one guy in a one-man shop. Tom is a third-generation craftsman carpenter. He asked me to let him know when I posted this review so he could gear up for a little more business, because this thing is really hard to resist. I saw it a long time ago and just thought, you know, this is the one that I want. So here's the deal. Tom's attention to detail is really, really impressive. Everything fits together really well. It adjusts easily. It works perfectly. The edges are finished well. The stain is perfect. The padded cushions are well made. He clearly takes a lot of pride in his work. When you order your bondage horse, it is color customizable. You get to choose two things, the color of the stain on the wood and the color of the vinyl on the padded rests. There are a lot of options to match your own personal dungeon decor. You can check out the variety to choose from. In my Linkorama, I will also have a link to Tom's website, which is fetishfurniture.org. And if you do not have a dungeon and you're going to be putting this in your bedroom, this awesome creation also folds up to be stored in a smaller space. Here's how it works. The legs kind of fold inward, and the padded rests detach and then fasten to the interior sides quite nicely. The instructions are included on exactly how to do this, so it becomes something that's much flatter that you could store in a closet, away from prying eyes of vanilla visitors, shall we say. So, let's see. The next category I want to talk about is versatility. I like using it for restraining, beating, and fucking. And you know, I actually give it an A+ in all three. When you're fucking, there is enough room between the leg rests to stand between them while you're fucking the person on the horse. You can't spread your legs really wide, but there's definitely enough room. Also, look in the picture and see the tilt on the torso pad. And if you're not looking at a picture, here's what I mean. The padded rest that the torso lays on is actually higher at one end than the other, and this is very intentional. So, since the arm and the leg rests are completely interchangeable in terms of which side of the horse you decide to put these on, you can switch them around and you can have your head higher or lower. Well, what happens when you do that? Your ass is higher or lower. And you can actually make your ass higher sort of like it's like an offering, like an ass offering. Does this appeal to me? Abso-fucking-lutely, it appeals to me. So the height is adjustable to facilitate fucking. And here's how you do that. First, you can change it so the butt is higher or lower with the torso pad, like I mentioned, by switching around the armrests and the leg rests. The other thing that you can do is you can actually just change the height of the leg rests so that it will make the butt go higher if you have longer legs. I measured it as best I could to try and give you some idea of what range we're talking about, but these measurements are quite approximate. So the approximate distance from the floor to the fucking height, and I'm doing a couple of inches above the torso pad because, you know, people's bodies, that's where the orifice would be, right? So the approximate distance from the floor to the fucking height begins at about 29 or 30 inches, and it adjusts upwards. Now, as I mentioned, my inseam is 36, and it worked out quite well for me. So there is only one small criticism that I have for this bondage horse. If I could have anything I wanted, I would have a more comfortable face rest. In the picture, again, you will see he includes two smaller, lighter color wood posts where your face would be. And those are included as kind of a rudimentary face rest. They're meant to be used with towels or padding of your choosing. And he explains that in the instructions included. So this is the only thing about the bondage horse that I could find to improve. I have a lot of experience in massage therapy under my strap-on belt, and I appreciate the ability to really allow someone to completely relax face down. It's a very important part of the formula to have a very comfortable face rest. I'm not the kind of dominant that takes great pleasure in putting guys in uncomfortable positions. really au contraire. I like them to be completely comfortable so that they can totally relax. The pain they feel is what I choose to deliver, and of course what they've consensually agreed upon to receive. But the more relaxed they are in between the times I deliver pain, the higher the possibility I think it is that they're going to slip over into the land of the prostate orgasm when I fuck them, which is really what I would love. So this face rest setup, anyway, is not ideal. A friend of mine bought a couple of pool noodles, the really cheap ones, and he fit those over the posts and he covered them with a pair of socks. It works much, much better, but still, it's just a tad too firm. So I'm working on getting that setup just right. I mean, if I could have anything I wanted, I would have a face rest that's normally used for a massage table, and I would have the insertion posts the same distance that what Tom puts in that surface of the horse. Because I checked, because I have a massage table, and my insertion posts are a lot wider, so it won't facilitate just taking it off your massage table and putting it right on the horse. Nor do I think that that's a possibility, because it is a fair amount wider, and it's wider than the horse's. So this is the only thing that I would change if I could, which really is quite small. I'm sure I'm going to find just the perfect material to put on those posts, or I'll find a way to use that horseshoe-shaped cushion instead, and maybe have Velcro to attach it. So there you have it. The bondage horse, in my world, is a total winner. It's really an exquisite piece of BDSM furniture. I give it a 5 out of 5. And if you decide to get one, tell Tom I sent you. Of course, all of his information is going to be accessible in the Linkorama. And like I said, I will also put a link to the review itself, the written review on my blog. And if you get one, write me and tell me how you like it. Okay, before I finish this podcast, I want to tell you about one more amazing product. This is not something that I own personally, but I do own a variation of it. And let me explain. This is the Aslan Leather Jaguar Harness, okay? It's one of my favorites. I recommend it all the time. A fan was so kind as to send me one as a gift when I said that so many people said that it was an amazing, amazing harness, and I totally believe them, but I didn't actually have one. So he sent me one, which was totally so generous and amazing. So I've had that for some time. I've used it quite a bit. I absolutely love the harness. This is not an official review of it. That'll come eventually. But one of the things I wanted to tell you was that there is a special edition of the Jaguar harness that they are now offering. And what it's called is the Prince Jag. Guess what color it is, everybody? Right, it's gotta be purple. So now you can actually get a purple leather Jaguar. Oh my God, it's beautiful. So that is available on enticeme.com as you are listening to this. The link is gonna be in the Linkorama. So if you have always wanted a purple leather harness and you are a fan of Prince, now is the time, everybody. Now is the time. Okay, that's it for today. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have a blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. I also have pegging101.com, where you can find informational pegging articles only and no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, and you can find a sampling of those under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you like. The Follow tab also has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. If you order any sexy new toys from enticeme.com, please use the coupon code RUBY for a whopping 20% off your purchase. And remember, shipping is free for orders over $100. Send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too simple, too silly, or too strange. Many listeners will learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox or call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everyone. You rock. Happy pegging.